Hello and welcome to another episode of Gully Cricket to Bouncy Wicket podcast. We are your hosts. I am Srinivas, joining from Chennai.
And hello, I am Raja. I am calling in from Gurgaon. And before we start off, I'd like to thank all the wonderful listeners who've given us such a wonderful response in the previous episode. And we hope that this support continues going forward as well. And for today's episode, before we start off with the India-England ping ball test, we should try to understand how the whole ping ball series or the day-night test cricket came about. And for that, my friend Srinivas will give a small introduction on that.
Thank you, Raja. Basically, with T20, a shorter format of the game becoming more and more popular across the globe, in 2012, ICC approved day-night test cricket to ensure, equally test matches are also having good viewership in line with ODIs and T20 matches. 3 years after the approval of day and night test matches, on 27th November 2015, first international day and night test match has happened between Australia and New Zealand at Adelaide Oval. Incidentally, the day marks 36 years anniversary of the day and night one day matches as well.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And almost a year later, the second day and night test match has happened in Dubai between Pakistan and West Indies. And from there on, Australia went on to host 8 day and night test matches so far and is the only team to have 100% win ratio in day and night test matches.
Oh, wonderful.
And out of 16 day and night test matches, including the India versus England test match recently concluded, only two instances were there where the visiting team has won in a day and night test match. That is another point to be noted. And on both occasions, Sri Lanka was the visiting team. Once they won against Pakistan in Dubai and another time in West Indies.
And I think all the day-night tests have had results, right? And I don't think any of them...
Yes. Going to the next point, basically one may think why pink ball has to be used in day and night test match. Why not a red ball or a white ball? So the primary reason for this is players generally wear whites in test match, right? So they cannot use the white ball again. And also white ball gets softer soon. It cannot be used for, long. Normally in a test match, the ball will be changed after 80 overs. So a white ball cannot be used for 80 overs. Moreover, this color problem is also there. And if they try to use the red ball, again, ball visibility will be problem during the night time, under the lights especially. And also red ball loses shine quickly. So this is where the whole pink ball concept has come. Basically, the pink ball actually will be having an extra coating of lacquer to ensure the gloss and shine on the ball is not, coming off quickly. So, this extra coating of lacquer is what makes this ball separate, unique. And that's where the swing has come. The swing and seaming, happens because of the extra coating of lacquer. And that's why usually the... pink ball test matches are dominated by fast bowlers.
Oh, that's really fascinating.
I think with this background about day and night test matches, let's move on to India versus England test match. Raja, why don't you take us through what happened in the pink ball test match between India and England?
So, coming down to the third test, as we all knew going into it, it was a must-win game for England and India if they had to stay in contention for the WTC finals. And it was also a historic occasion for the stadium itself, having been assigned a test match for the first time. And going into it, I think you've touched upon how day-night test matches were different. I don't want to dwell too much on that. So the match started in favor of England, with England winning the toss, which has proved decisive in the first two tests, where having won the toss and batting first seemed to be the pathway through the series so far. And so England, as choice, they've decided to bat first. But there were a few curious changes with the English team, Srinu.
What was more puzzling to me is both the teams has gone completely in the opposite directions of strategies.
Absolutely.
Right? Before start of the match itself, all of us know one team has read the pitch wrong. So we don't know which team has
which
read
team
the
was
wrong.
It. Yeah. So England going in with three seamers and a solitary spinner in Jack Leach. That I think they were playing for a pink ball test. I don't think they were playing for a pink ball test in India or in this particular series.
Definitely, right? They would have gone, instead of looking at the pitch, they would have gone looking at the statistics of the pink ball test, right?
Absolutely. Going in with three seamers, I think that was a bit of a puzzling thing to see. And on the other side, India went in with two spinners and also bolstered their batting by the addition of Washington Sundar, who Kohli specifically said that he was there to strengthen the batting more than the bowling in itself. So I think India on one side knew that the extra runs that say a number 7 or number 8 could give you would be even more important than the additional bowling option or pedigreed bowling option. And this was also the 100th test for Ishan Sharma, which is a wonderful thing by itself.
Yeah, beautiful. Always such a nice to see a fast bowler completing 100 test matches, right? A batsman doing
correct.
Fine. He's still 33, I think.
32. Yeah. He's only 32.
He's only 32, and we just want him to continue as long as possible. And I just want him to take 500 wickets and win many more matches for India, definitely.
And only after Kapil Dev, right? I think Kapil Dev played around 130 test matches and is the only fast bowler to reach this number.
True.
Amazing.
True. Yeah, so once the innings has started, I think very soon we came to know that England is on the wrong side of strategy, right? I mean, India started bringing in spin bowlers from 6th over. Akshar started bowling in 6th over. Yeah, basically they got a good start, I should say, actually. Of course, 2 wickets came very early. Sibley and Bairstow got out quickly. But Root and Jack Crawley had a good partnership. At one stage, they were 73 for 2, right?
Just to add to your point of bringing in Akshar from the 6th over, I think that also played a little bit with the English players' minds. When the ball... it wasn't as if the ball was doing nothing in the first 5 overs, I'm sure, because I think... Ishant was getting his seam, he was getting that, and Bumrah was bowling beautifully. I think the only reason he brought in Akshar was to counter Zach Crawley, because he seemed very, very comfortable batting against the pace bowlers.
Yeah, and even he haven't even played the first 2 test matches in India, right? And still he came out and he played well.
Yeah, so that's the thing, I think. The point was that having introduced Akshar in so early on, and Akshar getting maybe one random a ball to turn a little bit, I think that threw their game plan entirely, and I think they got into that mindset of this being a very tricky and spinning kind of a track. I feel maybe that also played to their confusion.
Like I mentioned, at one stage they were 73 for 2, and then they ended up at 112. And it is very surprising. To be frank, in the first innings, the pitch was also not doing much in the sense of turn, right? Even in the press conference, Rohit Sharma mentioned Chennai pitch was turning much, much more than Ahmedabad pitch. And it is more to do with the ball and more to do with the batting technique, I feel. And it is very sad that England got all out at 112. If you see the numbers, after this, they put a big score in the first test match, first innings, they got out to less than 200 in all their innings, including the second innings of this match. They got out to less than 200 in all the matches. I think this is something which England has to take a note of.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of... and there was a lot of criticism also, even after the first innings and before India batted, right? There was a lot of criticism against Quad, especially in terms of batting technique and how they were unable to adapt to the conditions. It's also... one point that I observed, I obviously we couldn't watch the whole thing, but was that in first test, right? Say your Joe Root and Sibley were sweeping pretty confidently and they were using their feet and all that. But I think from the second test itself, I think there were changes in plans of Indian bowlers and they took the sweep shot out of the equation. Once that was done, I don't think they were very confident in using their feet and getting to the pitch of the ball. They were playing the ball from the back foot, right? They were waiting for the ball to come to them. And that was doing was that, considering as you've already mentioned, with lacquer on the ball and the skiddier feel that it has, once you're stuck on the back foot and with someone like Akshar bowling so accurately, it doesn't give you too much time to move on.
Yeah, I think the accuracy in his bowling is his main weapon, right? He doesn't try to turn it more. He try to bowl fast. He'll try to bowl on the same area again and again and let batsmen make mistakes. That's how he got all his wickets in this game.
Correct. And most of the dismissals again were through straight balls, right? There were so many. It was very bizarre.
Of the 30 wickets that have fallen in the match, 21 wickets have come for straight balls.
And so many LBWs, man. I don't know, like, so I don't recollect. I think
everyone ended up playing for turn and, you know, getting out. That's what I have seen. And Akshar, again, for second time, got a 5 wicket haul, right? 6 wickets.
Yeah. After the first innings.
5 wicket haul in the last match, second innings, and this match again, he got 6 wickets and Ashwin got 3 wickets. Yeah, coming to India's first innings batting, what do you have to say about Rohit?
Rohit, there was a comment that Shah Bhogle talked about in the second innings of the second test, where Virat Kohli was, he scored a 50, which was as equal to 100 he compared. And Rohit on such a track, his 66 is worth even say a 150 or even more
definitely. Even in the last episode I have mentioned that more than the runs that Rohit scores, the strike rate at which he scores is what is boosting the team. Even in this match on such a track, again he scored at a strike rate of 68, and while the other batsmen were even struggling to get runs, he got 66 runs at a strike rate of 68. That was amazing to see. And I think it's been some time we have seen a very good Rohit and Kohli partnership, right? And on a tough pitch.
This was getting there. Correct. One interesting point in both the first innings was that the highest scores in both the teams were made by the first the number one batsman, right? The openers,
right?
And I think it also shows that wherever there was, and both teams in fact opened with pace bowlers, so I think whenever there was a bit of pace on the pitch, it got a little more easier to play their strokes, I think, rather than when the slower bowlers came in, when it got really tough and new, and especially when someone was getting into their innings, having the surface like that, it was very difficult for a new batsman to get in as well.
True. And quite a rare instance, Virat Kohli got out in the last over of the day.
Yeah.
He ended up playing for turn and he got bowled. After that, I think every batsman has thrown their wickets, if you ask me how they
When the schedule came in, this test match was the one I was looking forward to the most, because considering that we are all working, I felt that at least this would be a match that we would get to see something during the work day. bizarre, like the way the collapse happened, starting at 99 for 3, and I think Rahane and Rohit, they also were there they've added another 14, 15 runs, and things seemed okay. And after that, suddenly everything went.
Basically, one stage, India were 114 for 4. When Rahane got out, and then after that hardly balanced team has added 30 runs, and that credit to Ashwin there, he stood there for some time, otherwise team would have got out for much lesser score.
Word on Joe Root as well, picking up his first 5-4.
We are going to talk about pitch in some time, but before we go there, nothing to take away from Joe Root, but he got 5 wickets, fine. So, but really, if you see who got out for him, it's actually bottom 5 of the Indian batting order. Of course, Pant is there.
Pant, Ashwin, come on.
No.
They did well. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you. Pant got out and Washington Sundar got out. I mean, it's their technique issue, right? They didn't play well those balls. Ashwin
to make some runs. Yeah,
because he don't have a partner and he got out try scoring a shot. Similarly, Akshar got out when he tried scoring runs. You don't count Bumrah at all. So it's an LBW. I'm just trying to say, Root got those wickets not only because of the pitch, but also because of the mistakes that Indian batsmen did. So
I think they also did the same mistakes. I think they were playing for the turn, right? Pant got out. I think he was playing for the turn and it just hit the edge and, gave a simple catch. So, but again, credit where it's due. He did, Root had to step up.
A full-time spinner also, and
there were no other options as well, right? He could on one end, Jack Leach was bowling pretty well, but he needed someone to at least. Otherwise, any fast bowler on that field, he wouldn't have had that kind of you know, he wouldn't, the pressure wouldn't be able to sustain. So I think Joe Root, he did a great job, at least in terms of what he had to do. And considering the kind of problems they put themselves in by the selection that they did. And he actually rescued the team from, you know, like giving them a bit of hope going into the second innings.
Definitely. I've seen Graham Swan saying that, you know, he has never seen Joe Root smiling, walking off the pitch. And he scored centuries and double centuries also. While he with all smiles when he was walking for a fifer. And he just gave 8 runs also. Like 5 for 8 in a test match is like unbelievable for a part-time spinner. So coming to England's second innings batting.
Before we move on, another point that we had to talk about. Ishan Sharma scoring a 6. This is the first time he scored a 6 in international cricket apparently. On his 100th test.
Yeah. So instead of bowling more overs, he ended up scoring a 6. So crazy, basically he bowled 5 overs and he got a wicket and he ended up scoring a 6 in the definitely,
you know, on his 100th match.
And imagine if you would have gone to Ishan Sharma and told him that on your 100th test match you are going to bowl 5 overs or 6 overs. Yeah, let's move on to England's second inning. Yeah, again Akshar got the wicket on the first ball of the innings, which is quite rare sight for a spinner to get the bowling in the first place to start with, and he got the wicket there. I think Ashwin got the wicket on the first ball of the innings, right? This is only 4th such instance happening that a spinner getting wicket on the first ball of the innings. Yeah, from there on.
And it's happening for the second, and 2 of them are in the same series.
Same series, yeah.
Crazy.
Series. Yeah, actually he got the wicket of the first ball. Incidentally, second ball was also given out and they have gone for review. It was turned down. And the very next ball, he got the wicket again. So what do you have to say about your SRH star?
I knew you were going to say that. It's such a... So, like, I feel bad for Johnny Bairstow. I really do. Right? You know, Graham Swan was also talking about this. It's not easy, right? He looked pretty good back in Sri Lanka, and I think you've talked about England's selection policies last episode as well. It's just bizarre, you know, having, I understand people leaving for, you know, for mental breaks and all that, but the kind of situation that he was sent back in and then asked to come back, and in the middle of a series where after spending months in like isolation in England, I suppose, because the situation is pretty bad over there, coming back and facing this thing and getting a pair. He got out for duck in the first innings as well as the second innings. Oh, shut up.
No, the problem is the way he got out. I was watching the match and Sunil Gavaskar was mentioning that the first ball, like which was overturned out decision, basically he played it wrong. He went on first sweep. Okay. So seeing that, Sunil Gavaskar was mentioning that if he's going to play like that, he is not going to, you know, play more balls here. And the very next ball, he did the same and he got out. Not that he is going to hear what Gavaskar is saying, but... You know, the mindset of a batsman.
Yeah, you know, like for the longest time, right, when overseas players came down to India, especially from the Sena countries, their get out of jail kind of a shot was a sweep shot.
Right.
And rarely what happened for the longest time was that when someone used to play the sweep shot, then most of them, they just ended up throwing away the wickets at extra. But after what happened in the first test, where they were playing the sweep pretty well and then seeing England crumble on the sweep shot so badly, it tells you that the Indian bowlers have altered their lengths a little bit to take such this you know, like scoring option away. And again, we've talked about it, but it shows so much planning that is going on in the Indian camp as well.
And that too, seeing how Akshar Patel is bowling, going for a sweep against Akshar Patel is, I don't think it's a very good choice. Moving on.
There was, come on, yeah, no more pair store.
Yeah. So he has become a pair store now. So yeah, moving on. I'm loving this love story of Ashwin and Ben Stokes, man. 11 times he got him so far. Highest for Ashwin, and that too a left-hander. I don't know, the biggest love story probably is Ashwin versus left-handers in the history of spin bowling, first of all. And then I think this is going to be a biggest segment in that love story, right? Ben Stokes versus Ashwin. And
yeah,
the story is more or less same. Actually, Ben Stokes, he'll come in, he'll try to defend some balls, and then he'll decide to go after the bowlers. He'll hit 2, 3, 4, and then Ashwin comes and then he picks up his wicket. I think this has been story for the entire series.
But I credit to where it was to Stokes till the time it was working. He did go after Ashwin as well.
Definitely.
He tried to. No.
Going after, I mean, he of course goes after Ashwin also. But
so, but
Ashwin traps him somehow every match.
Yeah, yeah. But in the first innings, he was a lot more subdued. Ben Stokes played, I'm just going through the stats. So Ben Stokes played 24 balls for a 6. So he was more or less just fending, you know, like he's trying to avoid getting out and trying to look for survival. But right. In the second innings, he tried to, you know, like get back to that, you know, free flowing and trying to take the attack to the bowler. He did look a lot better in the second innings, I must say. But again, as you said, Stokes has become Ashwin's bunny and sad for Ben, but I'm sure he's a great batsman and a great player, and I'm sure he'll try to counter it in the next test as well.
Yeah, I think that he is going to show all his emotions in white ball cricket. Yeah, Ashwin got his 400 wicket of Jofra Archer. So, Ashwin, man, last episode also I mentioned very soon we are going to fall short of words to praise Ashwin. And 400 wickets, and he's second fastest to reach the milestone. And he got 400 wickets in 77 test matches. And
crazy.
Muralidharan got in 72 test
72,
matches. And 400 wickets in 77 test matches is such an
absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's not just that Ashwin as a bowler is taking wickets. He's actually become a post the greats have retired from Indian cricket. Your Tendulkars and Sehwags and all that. He is right now the biggest match winner that India has. What do you think?
True,
just in terms of how much impact he has in you know, in rattling the opposition,
he's a thinking bowler, Raja, basically. And to be frank, he must be the greatest bowler or greatest player Tamil Nadu has ever produced. I don't think there is a bigger legend than Ashwin who has come out from Tamil Nadu.
Definitely, I think he's right up there.
Yeah,
so, but again, yeah. Congratulations to Ashwin, a truly well deserved.
Like we said for Ishan Sharma, we want him to continue for as long as possible and take many more wickets, 600, 700, whatever is possible. And I'm sure Ashwin is going to play long, definitely, because he is a thinking bowler. He know how to change everything. He changes his bowling action in the very very spell, actually. He changes his loading positions, he changes release positions, he can change everything in a single
angles, he changes actions, he changes ball, you know, the different his fingers are, he can bowl 6 different balls in the same action, or maybe even, you know, like a bit of modification of the action, but 6 different balls with the same off spinning kind of a rule. It's brilliant. I think the man is a genius, and when it goes wrong, the experimentation looks bad. But again, he himself has admitted that if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if you don't try, you don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Unless he experiments, he's not going to know which one is going to work, which one is not going to work. I'm sure he's going to have that backing from the team. And let's wish he'll go for many more wickets, and especially left-handers.
Absolutely.
So India cleaned up England for 81. Sorry, this is the lowest total England has ever had against India in their complete history of Test cricket. And the first innings total of 112 was the fifth lowest against India. So, like I've said some time before, and this is the fifth successive time in England got out for less than 200 in this series.
Wonderful. But going into the ping ball test, there were always these apprehensions that it would be a team that fell down for 36 against a team that fell for 58. Which is what... So, I think to that extent, the ping ball lived up to its reputation. It's just
England failed to score runs in both the innings, basically, here. And both the innings together, England has scored 193 runs, which is their second lowest ever total, both the innings put together in the history of England Test cricket. That is another low point for England.
I think there will be a lot of, they need to look at what they're doing, at least the batsmen. I think the intent has to be there. They have to like not be too crushed by, because these kind of defeats can have a toll. And it is not just that, it is limited to this test match, because even in the second test match or even in the second innings of the first test match, when the ball started to turn, especially turn, it's been a downhill, and they have to arrest their slide going into the next one, because the surface, I don't think it will be any different. It may be better some ways, but it will still be a turning track, and they will have to look for answers, because this will only get, this kind of performance will need to stop, I feel.
Yeah, definitely they are going to look into it. And not to forget, Indian batsmen have also failed definitely on this pitch, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was very bizarre that Indians are failing to score runs on a turning track in India.
You know what this is? This is a match that was supposed to happen in 2020, but it happened in 2021. It is that insane. There are world class batsmen with thousands and thousands and thousands of runs and under their belts, and they're unable to on one side, say someone like a Joe Root and Ben Stokes are unable to, tackle a person playing a second test. And on one side, people are falling for a part-timer like Joe Root. It is bizarre. There's no other word for this particular match. But credit to India, at least in the second innings, they finished the match pretty quickly. I think we are talking about the match more than what India batted in the second innings.
Yeah, definitely. And this is only second instance in India that a test match got over on day two. And first one being India versus Afghanistan test match in 2018.
That was their first match. Yeah. That was their first test match in their history. And that you can understand.
That is very much understandable, right? Afghanistan is an young test team, and that's quite understandable, actually. At least in that match, there is something on the scoreboard. I think India scored 400 or something in the first
game.
Right. And Afghanistan got bowled out two times on same day, something like that. But yeah, that was understandable. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. What are your thoughts on pitch, Raja? What are your comments on pitch?
It is, honestly, if you ask me, I think it was not a fit pitch for a five-day match. When you make surfaces across, you would want the matches to last for 5 days, and in no way, even if with better batting or in all that, I don't think the match would have lasted for 5 days. So on that part of it, I think there needs to be some agreement. Other than that, we have talked a bit about the technique being faulty. There's also the factor of the ball. It was just a perfect it was just a perfect storm of events. The pitch being how it was, the ball being far quicker.
Everything happened so quickly. Even Virat Kohli mentioned that in the post-match presentation as well. If you ask me, it's definitely not an ideal 5-day test match pitch, no denying of that, and definitely no one want to see more such matches in future. And I don't think it's correct to blame the pitch entirely. We have to consider the ball behavior as well, right? Joe Root also mentioned in the post-match press conference, the plastic lacquer and the ball and hardness of the seam has equally contributed to what happened in this match. I felt happy someone, really thought of and brought some other point when the whole world is jumping saying pitch is bad, right? That is one point has to be considered. And definitely, like we spoke, batsmen from both the sides have not applied themselves in playing spin and ended up giving majority of wicket to straight balls. Right?
Correct.
I think already mentioned 21 of the 30 wickets fell for straight balls. And none of the batsmen tried reaching to pitch of the ball to negate the turn and bounce and force bowlers to change the lengths.
Correct.
I think if you remember, Pujara did that beautifully in Australia tour to counter Nathan Lyon,
even Ashwin,
a lot of Indian players did that in Australia. And even
Ashwin, especially when he was seeing off that epic 35-40 overs that they had to Vihari, and Ashwin countered Lyon by using his feet brilliantly.
Yeah, and Gill did that to a certain extent in the fourth innings. I've seen him come few times on Frankfurt and try to negate the... And definitely, definitely it's not a two-day pitch, right? Definitely it's not a two-day pitch. With better batting technique, definitely match would have gone to 4 days, I think. At least third day or...
Maybe third day, I think. I don't... Because the way... we don't know where India... You know, how India would have failed had they batted first and they had to bat twice. True. But ninth, where...
I feel...
Yeah. With England, definitely, the way they performed in this match, I don't think the match would have lasted anywhere more than 3 days at least.
Definitely.
Because they would have fallen pretty quickly either way.
And I think in hindsight... imagine if Virat Kohli was at crease at start of day two, right? If he has not got out in the last over of the day one, probably the entire match would have panned in a different way. Of course, you never know. We are saying it in hindsight, but just... I'm just telling the possibilities of match going to date.
You know, like that, going to that point, right, what I was talking about in terms of getting started, I think this was a pitch where you could not start. Like when you say the day ended, even someone like Rohit who played at the end of day one, he didn't last too long on day two. So I'm just wondering if it was difficult to get started on. That could have been a factor as well. Just, getting into the mindset of, seeing off the,
phase of the game.
Correct.
Initial phase of the day.
Yeah, initial phase. And for new batsmen, it seemed very, it looked very difficult. Again, it could have been bad application.
And even definitely one has to agree, the curators also doesn't want an inaugural match on the ground to get over in less than 2 days, right?
Absolutely. The world's a world. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just telling for the people who are jumping, saying this pitch is bad, we are killing test cricket. And I think we have to, really see what happened there and agree that failure of batsman is the biggest reason for the test match to get over on day two. To me,
definitely, that is the major contributing factor.
Curators may not be aware the behavior of the ball, right? This is a pink ball and they don't know how the pink ball is going to behave on our pitches. Because hardly we had one test match happened in India.
This is just a speculation. I really don't know. But that could also be a factor maybe because it's so new for everybody. And there are 15, 16 matches across the world and India's gotten its second match and it's difficult to understand the characteristics itself maybe a little bit. The only people who've, I think they must have loved this experience would have been the spinners.
Raja, let's move on to the final match. So India need to draw the test match or win the test match. Basically, they should not lose the test match for them to qualify for the WTC finals. Yeah, England is out of contention now. So, what do you think both the teams has to look forward for the final test?
The conditions will be same, I feel. It will be a turning track. It will be a slow track. And I am very sure that had England not sent away Moeen Ali, Moeen Ali would have fitted right in there. They would have traded Dom Bess. I think England would have wanted Dom Bess as early as the fifth or sixth innings of the first of when they were batting, and he would move in pretty quickly. A couple of pacers, and it will be a spin dominated attack on both ends. But England doesn't have options now with Moeen Ali not being there. I think Root has to bowl a lot more. I think that would be something that they would be looking forward to.
I think if you ask me, the only way out for them is their batsmen to find the way to play the spin. I don't think there is any other way out for them. And India fortunately ended on the winning side, but definitely their batsman has to look at the batting technique, especially playing against the spin. And
this time I think that's what they will have to face Bess and Leach both.
Yeah, definitely England, I think they are going to play two spinners. Again, it depends on what pitch is in offer. At least let's hope they'll read the pitch right this time and we'll have a good contest of bat and ball for at least 4 hours.
Hopefully so. Because more than anything, the people who are paying, they deserve to see cricket, test cricket in all its glory. And especially it would be a great finish to a test series, and also it would be a step up for the Ahmedabad Stadium also to have a match which would be competitive.
Many more matches are going to be played in Ahmedabad.
No, of course. But there will always see. What I meant to say was, if the test series finishes well, it would show the
people will forget about this 2 day, right?
Correct.
Now it's like a black mark that has come on the name of the stadium.
140 overs?
I think 140.2 some overs. 842 balls, basically. This is the shortest test match played, I think, post-1942, post-war era.
Both teams would look like to, you know, shake this out and just go in and give it their all for the final test, because there is still a lot at stake.
Having started the series so well, definitely they'll want to go back at least with a 2-2.
Absolutely.
Bad thing.
Coming to subcontinent,
especially.
And India has a lot at stake because they need to cement that space, that place in the final. So it will be a good finish, I'm sure. Hopefully not as brief. And, you know, for people who are working, at least they will get to watch a bit of cricket.
I think we are recording this on Friday. So basically, today must be the most productive day in India, if you ask me. Yesterday, definitely, people would not have work like they do usually, because test match doesn't affect the work much, to my knowledge.
But
we have to keep checking the, you know, Crick Buzz and Crick Infos very every 5 minutes once. So let's move on to our next segment. Basically, from this week, we are going to introduce a new segment. Raja, why don't you explain to our listeners about the new segment?
So cricket has a rich history, and not all of it is known to everybody. So we wanted to talk about the unknown, the crazy, the strange, the bizarre, the forgotten stories of cricket in a new segment called How's That? And to start this segment, let's talk about Kilikiti. You heard me right. I'm not talking about Kiliki, which is the language from Bahubali, or, you know, mispronouncing cricket. It is Kilikiti. Kilikiti is actually a Samoan version of cricket. Samoa is a nation in Polynesia and Oceania, and they have their own unique version of cricket, which they call Kilikiti. When English brought cricket to Samoa, Samoans embraced it, and to a level that it has been designated as their national sport now. And it is not not the version of cricket that we see today. So before we go further, I would say that I would like to credit the information where I'm getting this from. So it's from a travel blog called Culture Shock, and as well as a brilliant article on Cricket Country by Mr. Abhishek Mukherjee, who both of those articles, we will be tweeting it out on our platform as well. So coming down to the rules of Kilikiti, the first point is that at the local level, it is a very competitive and it's a very community-driven sport. And it is very centric to the rural culture of Samoa, wherein villages take on other villages on a competition of Kilikiti. And the rules are such that there are no rules. Essentially, you can have as many people as you want. And it's also very gender neutral. There are men and women playing this all the time. The holding bat or something, they call it Pates are your triangular shaped clubs, which are essentially used for slogging the ball. And the pitch in itself is made of concrete, around 20 meters in length and having wickets on both ends. As I told you regarding the rules are usually agreed upon by the teams competing before the match begins. Like in some versions of it, there can be batting, there can be bowlers or at both ends, just to quicken up the game. What would happen is one would ball and the batsman at the other end would hit the ball, and then immediately the other person, the bowler at the other end would ball it to someone at the other end, so that the game finishes or moves on a little bit quicker. Just that another interesting part that Kilikiti has in certain cultures, they have designated cheerleading squad, And they also have designated sledging squad. The teams have them. So they can sledge the other team when they are getting out or when they're even... So I've seen images of fielders having, utensils next to them when they're fielding. And once the batsman gets out or gets caught, they start banging the plate just to make...
This actually sounds funnier than our gully cricket, actually.
Absolutely, it's amazing, and it's also taken a very because the Samoan the Polynesian culture is also very warrior culture, right? You can look at people, if you remember movies like Sai, they had haka, right? That's all coming from those kind of cultures where they're doing such acts to as a form of war. There have been attempts to even formalize kilikiti. In New Zealand, for instance, where New Zealand hosted a World Cup of nations which played kilikiti, a national sport, and it is a variation of cricket. So I'm sure people who are interested would love to get to know this culture and this culture of cricket in a very remote part of the world. So, as I said, we would be posting links of the articles from where we got this information from, as well as a few clippings if we can. So, take a look, guys. And that is how's that for this week.
Thank you, Raja. Thank you for explaining in such a detail. And let's move on to our next segment, Hero of the Week. I think we have an obvious hero for the week. And Akshar Patel has got 11 wickets for 70 runs. And this is the best bowling figures in a day and night test match. Yeah, Akshar Patel is our hero of the week.
Yeah, I think our heroes of the week are getting very straightforward, right?
True. We are seeing such a dominating performances from players. We can't
hate. Yeah, which is also, I think, a good thing. Congratulations to Akshar Patel. I read an article on ESPN Cricket Info just today, which says that Akshar Patel currently has bowling average of 9.7, which is the lower than the lowest of all time. Yeah, I don't think there can be a better start to a test career than what Akshar Patel has had.
Yeah, not to take away anything from Akshar Patel, but once he visits Sena countries, it will be normalized, I'm sure. So yeah, our hero for the episode 6 is Akshar Patel. So that's all for the week, guys. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.